This is your station, 88.9 KETR. My name's Jared Knight. That's Mr. Bob Aiken. Sir, how are you?
It is me. And what we'll do is, if we can break down a topic that has been...
This is a show to do that on, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Hey, we've got a topic that has been in the news off and on here recently, a couple of weeks ago. Major conference in Seoul, South Korea, concerning nuclear weapons. And, well, you can't think of a more appropriate place to have that conference. It's something that we need to think about a little bit, because what is the definition of national power or influence in the world today? Well, certainly the size of an economy isn't how well it's performing.
Right.
That's a pretty short list when you start trying to figure out who the major powers are. You know, there's 8 or 9, maybe 10 that hit that list. Generally, economies that have more than $2 trillion of goods and services.
Right.
You know, another one that's harder to nail down, it's kind of like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall, is what has been the trendy phrase of soft power. What makes a country attractive to others? What gives it influence? For instance, Vatican City has no army. It's what's got the Swiss guards that are the Pope's bodyguard. But Vatican City is a sovereign state, besides being the seat of the world's largest religious body.
Right.
And it doesn't have an inordinate amount of economic power, no matter what. But the soft power comes in its influence through a major church. Part of the soft power of the United States is Hollywood. Part of the soft power of France is art.
And you know, wine, I would think.
Well, of course, we can see that ourselves these days.
Yeah, that's true.
But besides the hard economy and the soft power of culture, there's military power, which is, in, to a great extent, dependent upon at least the first, if not both. And maybe the key indicator of military power in the world, at least since 1945, has been nuclear weapons. For those of us who grew up during the 60s and lived, well, literally all our lives with nuclear weapons, or the threat thereof, it's something that we take for granted. In the past 20 years or so, with the threat of nuclear war between the United States and what was the Soviet Union, having presumably diminished, if not entirely disappeared, we sometimes don't take this seriously enough. But when you look at who's got the nukes, there's about 20,000 nuclear weapons as the international arms control bodies that have been created by treaties among the nuclear powers and who are empowered to count them and to account for where they are stored or are they operational. We assume that they are, for the most part, correct. There's roughly 20,000 nuclear weapons in the world right now, and about almost 19,000 of them, kind of equally divided, are in the United States and Russia. Or the others. Well, all five winners of World War II have acquired nukes. In fact, World War II, at least in the Pacific, could arguably been said to have been brought to a quicker conclusion by the first and so far only use of nuclear weapons by the United States against Japan. But the other winners, who just happened to be the members of the UN Security Council, funny how that works, when at the same time nuclear weapons were being provided, were being acquired, that was the foundation at the end of the war of the UN Security Council. The other Security Council members, first to acquire nukes, were Britain, then a couple of years later, then the Soviet Union, and then a few years later, France, and then China.
Right.
Well, each have between 200 and 300, depending on how you count them. Some of them are battlefield tactical weapons. Some of them may or may not be assembled in foot, but at least 200 each. They also all signed the non-proliferation treaties that supposedly keep other nations from acquiring them. Well, that didn't do an awful lot of good in the case of India. Now the Indians, who have at least 200 nukes and a means of delivery, both by aircraft and by missile. And then there's Israel. the Israelis refuse to officially admit that they have nukes. And it's something that debate both here and there, we tend to forget about. The question is whether or not a theoretical Iranian missile delivering a theoretical warhead on Tel Aviv, what would be the response? Well, would the United States protect? It would be the obliteration of at least urban Iran. If they acquired one or two nukes, they're still outnumbered more 100-1 by the Israeli nukes that officially don't exist.
Right.
This is something we should always bear in mind. Pakistan built nuclear weapons, which may or may not work, out of fear of the Indian nuclear arsenal. Mm-hmm. Whether the North Korean nukes actually work or not is something that they may not work any better than their missiles.
Right.
But it's something that has to be in the backs of the minds of our South Korean allies, as well as the Japanese, who are very close by, as well as the United States. We're not just major trading partners. We've got over a division of U.S. troops in South Korea and have since 1953 at the end of the war.
Right.
Nuclear weapons is something that we don't give enough serious thought about. Nobody is ever going to be able to seriously threaten the United States or Russia, as far as that goes, with nukes or any other kind of weapon of mass destruction unless they are prepared to be destroyed. So
right.
I think that's something that we need to kind of keep in the back of our minds. And the mid-sized powers, as Charles de Gaulle described France acquiring nuclear weapons, saying, you may be able to kill us, but we can tear off an arm.
That's right.
So it's something that we need to keep in the backs of our minds at all time, that public discussion of nuclear weapons and anybody else acquiring one, they're almost unusable. But if anybody ever does use them, the consequences are going to be enormous.
Yeah, sure.
So in the meantime, let us leave it there and trust that we never have to break this down for any other purpose, again, other than a pure academic exercise.
I agree with that. I think that's great. Mr. Aiken, thank you so much, and we'll do this again.
Yes, we will.
All right. We are your station, 88.9 KETR.